Well, it's the heart of summer now, and it's time for a quick summer challenge update for Compassion Radio. First of all, thanks to all of you who have accepted our challenge to join our vision team for the first time. We're making progress on our goal of at least 200 new vision team partners before September 1. Compassion Radio giving partners make it possible for us to also have special ministry projects, like Bibles for China, Door of Hope in South Africa, or the Treasure Audio Bible Project, which places audio Bibles in some of the most remote places around the world. These powerful partnerships and projects happen because you make Compassion Radio possible, and we're here to tell you all about it. If you haven't before, please consider joining our vision team to support one of the most unique media missions in the world today. Just choose an amount that suits your faith and God's provision. Frank will tell you how to do that later in the program. God bless you, friends. And now to today's story.
Today on Compassion Radio.
China is very alarmed with any social unrest.
And they fear revolution rhetoric in the way they perceive that as being something that is physically or existentially dangerous to their existence as a government or as a people or an entity called China.
Absolutely.
Of course, we think in terms of revolution of the spirit, so we do think in terms about a total conquering of the heart by the Holy Spirit of God. That is a big statement, and I understand why that could be read or heard by those who are atheistic and committed to an atheistic regime as being a threat to their value system.
And once again, welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Today, Bram takes an inside look with an anonymous guest at what really happens behind the scenes in China and how those things affect the church and the average citizen. I'm Frank Montenegro, and I'm inviting you to stay with us for part one of that conversation.
Friends on Compassion Radio today, we have an inside view of what's happening in the country of China. And it goes along with some of the experiences that Sandy and I have had personally traveling in the country on your behalf as Compassion Radio listeners and partners. And we are thrilled to be able to talk with somebody who really knows the country from both sides. He's traveled, he's met and worked with people on all levels of government and the relations between the government and the church in China. So we're just to refer to him as a veteran China watcher. So this anonymous person we're going to meet today is someone that I've come to trust explicitly with the truth about what's really happening in that country so we can understand it better and can pray more effectively. So we'll just refer to him as our China watcher. Welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thank you very much. Good to join you.
It's odd to have someone that I know so well at this point to be so anonymous, but it's important for operational security for what you do. It's also important for the church around the world to know that they can be safe in the hands of people who are going to help them with the process of negotiating the political and the sacred. And you've done a marvelous job of helping equip both bodies to be able to handle each other, the church, especially in the country of China, and the government of China, to have a kind of detente that allows for the gospel to go forward, the kingdom to grow, without there being a knee-jerk misunderstanding, reaction, and kickback on every issue. You've been a real, I would say, diplomat in important ways, and I treasure your work that you've done on that front for many years now. So what can you tell me, friend, about what's happening in China right now and what we should be expecting over the next couple of years?
I think that there's always multiple fronts, and the first thing we have to remember is that all the good things you hear about China, they're probably true.
Yeah.
All the not-so-good things we hear, they're probably true also.
Yeah.
China's a big country, and so anybody that's been in the China space for a long time is very hesitant to make a blanket statement and say whatever I'm saying is true all the time, every place. And we start to get a grasp on the magnitude of China. First of all, the raw numbers, the landmass, then the complexities. But I think one of the keys to walking through the China discussion is to understand that you have national level, provincial level, city level, county, town, village, and even more remote. And things can change drastically even within a province, depending on what level we're talking about. So I would start with that as a caveat. But without a doubt, I believe what your listening audience needs to appreciate are the radical changes that have taken place in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
In 2005, we had a religious policy It affected foreigners as well as the local churches. In 2017, there was another policy.
Which was supersessional. They would actually replace the entire body of policy before, correct?
That's correct. And those of us that are China watchers have laid them side by side and noted the differences. One of the major differences is that the internet used to be a gray space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, relatively new, they were taking it easy on policy. Now it's no longer a gray space.
Yeah.
There are very definitive and definite laws and regulations. Those that thought we could simply bypass religious regulations by use of the internet are going to probably be woefully mistaken. And this breaks my heart because some of those are seminary programs that have been translated into Chinese. Millions of dollars have been invested, many different apps.
Yeah.
And it remains to be seen how effective they're going to be moving forward. So that's one.
I can't think of many ministries or organizations around the world that have an interest in the growth of the kingdom of God that have not invested heavily in a communications technologies to reach as many people as possible within the country, because they know that physically it was already closed or restricted. Moving around was difficult to get any sense of privacy or exclusivity of time. You couldn't be away from watchers, but you could on the internet, which is precisely the big issue now. The government has decided that they are no longer going to tolerate that kind of exceptionalism for that space. And they've made their presence very clear physically. I saw that myself while traveling China, that cameras are literally everywhere. Whether they're actually manned or not, the sense is that you are constantly being watched. And so now they're wanting to put the same kind of eye on the internet.
Absolutely true. So we can start with the internet. As you say, most every ministry thought that was the way into China. They said they can't block it.
Right.
Well, they can. They do. And they probably will with increasingly specificity. So that's number one. Then you mentioned the surveillance. China has a goal for total surveillance of the country by the year, I'm going to say 2025. I might miss it by a year or two, but they've stated that, and they're well on their way.
And what do you suppose is the key justification for that? Because it's not just necessarily an evil impulse, like we have individuals that just want to suppress a people. They do, in some respects, I understand, have some noble purposes afoot here that are being woefully misused, but they have a reason for it. What is that?
Well, they would say it's national security.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. I personally don't think that China has any surveillance techniques that aren't available in the United States and possibly used in the United States. The difference is that the Chinese government cares about things that, at least to this point, the government in the United States is not concerned with. One is religious position and perspective.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one of the leading cults in China today is called Eastern Lightning.
Yes.
And Eastern Lightning basically believes that the Messiah is on Earth today, the Messiah is Chinese. It's absolutely a cult.
Right. And you would think that would appeal to the public sector at this point, to have a very sinified style of religion. Maybe in America, Mormonism is the most American religion we have. You would think that Eastern Lightning might be perceived as being a very Chinese style religion that would be acceptable to them, except that they see what they've actually been doing with human trafficking. So they have rejected that.
Sure, sure. The point I was driving at is it's a positively dangerous religion. They'll rope you in with sex, money, power. Mm-hmm. They get you in, and they treat you like family. But when you want out, they may harm you physically or even kill you. Well, in China, it's outlawed.
Mm-hmm.
The leaders of Eastern Lightning could possibly live in America legally.
Hmm.
And that's something the Chinese don't understand because of the freedom of religion issue. The second thing, in the United States, we have freedom of expression to speak of our government and our leaders as we choose. Unfortunately, we may abuse it, but we do. We have that freedom. You do not have that in China.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
This is Cher Nelson. This 75th year of broadcasting is very important and emotional for us. Important because God is opening new opportunities and new places for us to be able to share the compassion of Christ to the persecuted but triumphant church around the world, and to take God's word to people who have never heard or read. and emotional because we are challenged to preserve the amazing legacy of the ministry first Wilbur Nelson and then Norm left with us. Norm left us much sooner and more suddenly than any of us anticipated, and we have earnestly endeavored to continue the path that was laid down before us. But we're facing a difficult financial season, and we don't have the warm and trustworthy voice of Norm to tell you how much we need your support. But Wilbur always said, in times of financial need, ask the Lord and tell the people. And so that's what we're doing, asking the Lord to touch hearts and telling you we need your partnership. Not just your money, but your prayer-covered partnership giving, especially if you can join our vision team with a monthly pledge. But if you believe in our working together, we need your support however and whenever you can, and especially this month. Please, dear friends, will you help us?
To support Compassion Radio, call 800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. Or you can write P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And last but not least, you can text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And thank you so very much.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
In the United States, we have freedom of expression to speak of our government and our leaders as we choose. Unfortunately, we may abuse it, but we do. We have that freedom. You do not have that in China. So if you say anything religious, even now to the point of anything that might influence children in it one way or another, this could be actionable.
Yeah.
So the technology isn't that different. It's just that the governance is significantly variant. So, they're listening, they're watching. Anything negative about the party, anything that's anti-China, and anything that's overtly evangelistic could all be challenged. And therein lies the danger.
And most of that surveillance would start with keywords. So they'd be listening into things that might kind of throw up red flags, whether or not the message itself was negative against the government. When the system, the algorithms kick in, it starts a whole ball rolling for review and for surveillance that is enhanced. So it is incredibly important for people of faith to be speaking with respect and with courtesy. Now, I understand from having been there that China values harmony, as they define it, above all else, which is the apparent lack of any conflict or rudeness to people and systems of authority. And when people show their proper respect and live within the proper space that they inhabit, there can be harmony within the society. Now, you would think that they would understand that Christians of all religions would be the most compliant in that, because they have literally in their doctrine to be respectful of civil authorities. Yet they sense that there's a source or a base of power there that they don't understand that seems to be in conflict or in competition with their power. So I understand why they're pressing. But I also sense that their misunderstanding of the dangers that are inherent in the gospel itself, so they want to restrict the spreading of the word in the way they want to stop spreading of other things they would consider cults. If you could enunciate a little bit for me on what the difference is between the government's new policy now towards Christians and their policies towards cults at large, and why that's playing into these new policies and objectives.
Yeah, absolutely, Bram. The biggest change I see in the policy is the juxtaposition of wording, where it speaks of religious invasion / national security violations. Wow. Religious invasion, we understand. Mm-hmm. It's a big discussion, a long historical one, but when they make it tantamount to national security, that is an extremely alarming dynamic for some of us. Because we know as Christians, you know, the scripture teaches us, as much as is within you, be at peace with all men.
Right.
We have no malicious intent as Bible-believing Christians when we go.
Right.
However, that's not how the Chinese government is viewing it. National security is a major crime in any country.
Right.
Tantamount to treason or infiltration or disruption of government activities. And my caution is to everyone that goes into China now that to be extremely careful about this issue.
It seems to me that the world over, that treason itself is one of the few crimes left that's a thought crime that is still punishable by death in a majority of countries. Is that still true?
I think treason, by definition, is a capital offense in most countries. I think even in America, on paper, it is.
Yeah. They're conflating at this point any thought crimes with the threat of major armies invading. They're about on the same level in their minds at this point.
Yes. And without getting political, the country of China has many challenges.
Mm-hmm.
One is the Gini coefficiency divide between those that have become quite wealthy and those that are still now perhaps even below middle class.
Mm-hmm.
The government is very sensitive about that. So that's one issue that they're struggling with. They don't want disharmony. The other is a political one with issues such as Taiwan and Tibet, the minority people out in the northwest section of the country, and other factions. And when you have close to 1.5 billion people, the last thing you want is any mass discontent. And
right.
I would say those of us that love China and love the people don't want that either.
No, we don't.
While we would like to see Christ show his love to the people there and for them to experience the peace of Christ, I don't know anybody who wishes a revolution in China. We may wish for evolution and positive change brought about by the gospel, but China is very alarmed with any social unrest.
And they fear revolution rhetoric in the way they perceive that as being something that is physically or existentially dangerous to their existence as a government or as a people or an entity called China.
Absolutely.
Of course, we think in terms of revolution of the spirit, so we do think in terms about a total conquering of the heart by the Holy Spirit of God. And that is a big statement, and I understand why that could be read or heard by those who are atheistic and committed to an atheistic regime as being a threat to their value system.
Yes, and the new regulations bring something else out. They said they don't want any teaching or activity to take place which divides ethnic groups, religious groups, etc. Now, for a Bible-believing Christian, this is somewhat problematic.
In what way?
Because the moment we begin to teach that Jesus, for example, is the only way to heaven, the only way to God, which the Bible seems to be very clear on, that's not a political statement per se, that's not a racial statement, it's just a human statement.
Mm-hmm.
God sent his son in order that people through him may have life and may go to heaven. And the government could say, well, if you're right about your message, then the Buddhists are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Islam is wrong. Even the Roman Catholic teaching is wrong if they say you're saved through the sacraments. So they could interpret that as being societally disruptive and divisive.
Even destabilizing within the minorities.
Certainly.
Okay.
Certainly. And so this does become extremely sensitive for us as believers. How do we stay true to our faith, which we cannot compromise?
Yes.
And yet convey to the government that we have no intention or desire to see ugliness in the country of China.
Okay, you've covered two points that are radically different from the previous policy. Are there any other particulars or distinctives in the 2017 edicts that would preclude the kind of ministry work that we've been seeing in China over the past 100 years, or that might become a real flashpoint?
The third one would be the flow of money. The government understands the golden rule. The one that has the gold makes the rules.
Mm-hmm.
They have definitively given guidelines as to what you can do and should not do. And one statement, for example, says anything over 100,000 renminbi that flows into the country for purposes of social services or helping the churches should pass through government auditing. That's a major issue.
Yeah, it is.
And now with technology and computer systems they have with central banking computers connected, it's very difficult to move large sums of money, no matter how well-intentioned that money is.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2418. 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.